peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified Savior and risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine a man who went out in his front lawn one day and became the target of a drive-by shooting. Then imagine on three consecutive days after that, he was the target of automatic weapon fire. But every time, he thought nothing about it. He simply shrugged it off, got in his car, and went happily on to work. Then on the following day, he was supposed to be in his car at the time that his car blew up in the driveway. And yet he thought nothing about it, and he never thought to make any kind of report. Now, imagine that very same man started receiving death threats and all kinds of menacing phone calls, just kind of laughed it off and dismissed it as kids playing pranks. He didn't report it to the police, and he would tell family members who were worried about him that they were just being paranoid. Now imagine the same man in the same week waking up to his dog barking in the middle of the night, smelling gas, running out of the house just as the house blows up. Well, after the fire department arrives, they call the police in to investigate it as a crime scene. They ask the man, "Do you have any enemies?" The man acts surprised that they would even ask such a question. Now, we just can't imagine a man living in that kind of denial. But we are living in that kind of denial if we fail to realize that there is an assailant who wants us dead. Now, Christian friends, I'm talking about the devil. The devil is real. And just because you don't spend much time thinking about him does not mean that he does not spend all of his time thinking of ways to destroy you. Satan is an assassin. And he is always conceiving ways to kill you and to kill your faith. And it is only by God's grace in Christ that he has not succeeded up to this point. And so our situation with Satan is very little different than the officer that said to our friend, "I don't mean to trouble you, sir, but it's very obvious that there's someone out there trying very hard to kill you." Now, I know the question that you raise will be, "Well, Pastor, if we're in that kind of danger, why don't we sense the danger?" And I would just tell you that Satan does not expose himself as our enemy. In fact, it's only in the Bible that we learn this, that Satan stalks Christians like a lion would stalk his unassuming prey. You see, the devil never steps out of the shadows to confront us face to face. He doesn't need to. In fact, it works better for him never to approach us in person as he did with Jesus. Jesus would refer to Satan as a murderer because he is the murderer of all mankind through Adam. And his assassin's work is much easier in a world that denies his existence and among Christians who live in denial of his existence. But stealth is only one of Satan's many advantages over us. First, as an angelic being, he is far superior to us in both power and intellect. Second, the devil knows the scriptures better than most of us do. He can quote scripture, and he can quote scripture out of context. Third, this is really scary, Satan knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our sinful and misshapen personalities. He knows where we are morally and spiritually the most vulnerable. He smells our fear. He indulges our self-confidence. He exploits our weaknesses. Fourth, the devil is focused. He is so focused on your destruction. He is the sworn enemy of Christ and of all who belong to Christ. Fifth, the devil is relentless. He is tenacious in his determination to ruin your faith relationship to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And he will do anything to kill your faith born of God in baptism. Now, Satan can accomplish this in any number of ways. He can fill us with self-righteous pride so that we refuse the forgiveness that Christ purchased on the cross. Or he can drive us to such guilt and shame and despair over things we've done in our lives that we just can't believe that Christ has done enough to forgive us. He can kill your faith by simply distracting you from Jesus, by the many pleasures of this life, so that God just gets crowded out of your life. Or he can distance you from God and cause you to distrust God as he imposes all the miseries of life upon you. But you know what? In the end, Satan could care less which vice claims your soul and brings you down. He doesn't care if it's pride or despair. Because no matter which strategy he chooses to use on you, his single intention is to drive a wedge between you and your Savior. And let me tell you something about Satan. He's content to start small. At first, Satan is content just to drive a wedge between you and other people. Satan often starts out by doing this, by driving a wedge between you and a friend, or you and your family, or you and a spouse, or you and your pastor, or you and your church. Because he knows if he can estrange you from any of these relationships, then he can place a strain on your relationship to Christ. Satan doesn't have to inject you with hatred for Christ. But he knows that he can inject you with hatred in any relationship, and ultimately it will end up hurting your relationship to God. Because Satan knows that as a Christian, you can't hate another who you can see without hurting the relationship you have to the God you cannot see. But, as wise as Satan is, he made one fatal mistake, one miscalculation. I was thinking about this text, and you know, it dawned on me in Matthew 4 is the only time Satan reveals himself in person. He exposed himself to Jesus. He didn't do that with Adam and Eve. He didn't reveal himself. He showed up in the form of a serpent, and he handled them easily. I mean, that was like child's play to him. They were nothing. And ever since man's fall into sin, no other human had been able to resist his deceptive powers. As one by one after Adam, men fell into great shame and vice because of the power of Satan from the time of Adam until the time of Christ. In my estimation, Satan got a little cocky He began to believe his own PR, that somehow he was God, that he was invincible. He began to believe his own lie. The lie he told to Adam and Eve, that they could be God. And he began to believe that he had these godlike powers. And so his mistake was to step out onto the battlefield in front of Jesus, uncovered, unconcealed, and uncloaked. He stood there boldly, in person, and in front of Jesus. And he insinuated that God the Father was unconcerned about Jesus because Jesus had nothing to eat. Then he started to instigate doubt in Jesus' mind at the top of the temple so that he might estrange him from the Father. And lastly, Satan insulted the Son of God by offering him a kingdom that already belonged to him. And Satan did all of this because simply his own pride led him to overestimate his powers. So that he became overconfident and overextended. And he lost that battle. And he lost many to follow. You see, what happened is God too had a stealth strategy. God did not meet Satan head on. But he used the devil's own strategy. And he concealed himself and his presence. With his deity concealed in human form, Satan didn't really realize who he was up against. As knowledgeable as Satan was, he just didn't see the strategic wisdom of the cross. And even if he did, momentarily, his rage and his anger against Jesus blinded him to the fact that he was actually assisting God's plan of salvation when he began to stir the plot to murder Jesus. Satan, you see, got blindsided by God's grace. He just didn't see it coming. Now that Christ has crushed the serpent's head by his death on the cross, Satan is like a wounded, dying, bleeding animal. But please do not let this news make you careless or think he is not dangerous. Because though he is dying and though his time is coming to an end, he is still like a wounded and cornered animal. And in some ways, he's more dangerous than ever. On the one hand, Satan poses no threat to the Christian unless we get too close to him by deliberately choosing to sin. For the Bible tells us that in Christ the devil cannot touch the Christian. But again, a word to the wise. Satan, you see, is still seething over the cross. He's still seething about all who find shelter in the cross. And though he is dying, by all means, do not dismiss him. For even in his dying, he is more powerful than you and I. We are no match for him. He is still extremely clever and sophisticated in his thinking. And he knows if he can lure us away from Christ and the cross, he can still deliver that crushing death blow to us. He knows he cannot save himself or his kingdom, for God has reserved he and these renegade angels in chains for the final judgment. And so now his only satisfaction would be to see that you and I are not saved or spared from the wrath of God, but that we might suffer alongside of him in eternity. And that brings us back full circle to the warning that God first issued regarding the devil. You have to remember that like a felon, he is armed and dangerous. He can attack in so many ways, and deception, deception is his greatest weapon. I think Satan learned something in his encounter with Jesus. I think he learned not to expose himself and reveal himself as the real source of evil since his loss to Jesus. In fact, these days, the devil finds it much more effective to attack us from the shadows of this secularized existence. Satan has learned he doesn't need to go head-to-head with us like Jesus. And yet, in truth, we come face-to-face with the devil every day. We just don't recognize him because he speaks through so many voices in our culture. Satan works through the sights and sounds of this ungodly, unbelieving world we live in. He works against the Christian and the Christian faith at all levels. Besides attacking us personally and causing us to lunge into sin, he also assaults us publicly. He attacks us visually through our senses, through vile and graphic and seductive images that are plastered and displayed all over our society. He has distorted our Christian thinking because he bombards us with unwholesome words and unwholesome choices and atheistic assumptions that are promoted in our society. And he exposes us to every new fad of evil as we hear story after story about people who have taken sin to a whole new level. But you know what happens is after a while, these things that were extremes become the norm. And we think nothing of it, even though our morality, when it shifts, imperils our faith. Call me paranoid, but I know how the devil works. And I know who was behind and who truly authored the theory of evolution, the theory of modern psychoanalysis, the theory of the separation of church and state in its modern form, and the theory of a woman's right to choose. Satan merely used Darwin and Freud and Roe v. Wade to create this climate we live in where God and godliness are unwelcome in our culture. And why did he do this? He did this for the express purpose of destroying you and your children, and your children's children. Satan has so destabilized the notion of truth in this world that our world now is completely confused. It calls right wrong, and it calls wrong right. And then Satan just sits back and laughs in all this world confusion. Especially if he laughs when the world blames God for it. Again, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. That's why the Bible calls him the deceiver. There was an early church father, Irenaeus, who once said this. Think about this. He said, Satan can make a lie sound truer than the truth. Jesus said essentially the same thing when he said Satan would come into the church in sheep's clothing. When St. Paul said that Satan's ministers, his false teachers, would assume the outward appearance of holiness. And just as Satan twisted and distorted the truth of Scripture when he tempted Jesus, so he is going to come to you in the form of false teachers and false teachings. You can just count on it. And that's why every Christian these days must be a theologian, a disciplined student of God's Word, who can quote Scripture so that the devil will flee. Any Christian who seeks God's protection must go to the Scripture for that protection and know and study the Bible for himself or herself. You really can't ask God for an order of protection against against the devil and then hang out in the places the devil haunts. This is the rule. Stay in the scriptures and the devil will stay away from you. If he realizes that you are strong in the word, he is a lazy predator. And he will move on and look for easier prey. Unfortunately, he will look for that weak believer who has long neglected the word of God's grace and who has neglected coming together for worship with other believers. But that is his target of opportunity. Luther says in the Lutheran Confessions that if anyone claims that something is God's truth, but can't substantiate it with God's word, that's really the devil. Many claim to teach God's word in the church today, but you must test the spirits based on the scripture to see whether it is truly from God. Remember, even the devil at the temptation of Christ referred to Jesus as the Son of God, and yet he never meant to honor Jesus with those words. And that's what makes Christianity in its false forms today so demonic and deceptive. For today, what we find is the devil uses our Christian language, but he has assigned new meanings, heretical meanings, to these biblical Christian concepts. So really the point of this sermon today all boils down to this. Should you take Satan seriously? Should you be on your guard? Should you know the spiritual and physical harm he intends you? The answer is yes. Should you seek God's protection against him by clinging to Christ and to God's word? The answer is yes. Can the devil harm you if you do this? The answer is no. And so my prayer is that God would give you a scriptural faith that could stand against all the wiles and cunning of the devil, that could see through his deceptive attempts to move you away from the biblical truth and from a Christ-centered faith. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds guarded in Christ Jesus.